Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you to the program this evening. Today is October the 1st, 2018, and we thank God for you. We thank God for all the brothers who called in at 646-668-2636 to join us this evening. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We have a couple of announcements to go to first, but we're going to talk about knowing who we are in God, a man known by God. We're secure in our faith. We're secure in the things of God. So we're going to talk a little bit about, I am a man blessed by every spiritual blessing. And tonight also we're going to get to, I am an accepted man. And these is how God sees us, because we have to be secure as men of God, men of confessed Christians, that we know how God sees us now. Not who we used to be, but who we are now and what he sees us in the future. And we have to be confident in our faith, knowing what we believe and why we believe it, and that we are able to share, be light and salt in this culture and in the world and in our families, and be able to be and be encouraged and be strengthened. Even when things don't go our way in the natural realm, we know that our eternity is set to live in his presence forever. Amen. So we're going to talk a little about that tonight, but let me begin first with, we have a couple announcements. And for a reminder out there also, the month of October is the month of Domestic Violence Month, Awareness Month. Domestic violence is something that so a lot of folk have it in their history. A lot of folk know it in their family, in their generations and past. There's people going through it, suffering through it. But but today, but we just want to be set in awareness. And for the rest of the month, we're going to have some contact information, some resources. We're going to have a discussion about it in upcoming shows to shed light on it, to be able to speak about it, especially in the body of Christ and in the church. I have women that I've known personally and met, and they were in the church, and they suffered through domestic violence, and the church didn't necessarily were proactive or not even reactive to what was going on, because, again, some of the men were abusers. Families were being torn apart, and it wasn't a good situation. But as always, I'm coming today to the body of Christ for you brothers out there, elders, deacons, men, no matter, just a member of the church. If someone came to one of your gatherings, either a Sunday service, a Bible study, a prayer meeting, and they came to the leadership and came to you and said that they're afraid to go home, they're afraid for the violence from their spouse, they're afraid from violence from their boyfriend, they're afraid for the violence in their home with their parents. I mean, seriously, we're talking domestic violence. Does your church have a plan in place to help them? What is the strategy? What is the plan? We have a plan for everything else. We have a plan for folk to, you know, if we cancel service because of the snow and rain, or we have, you know, we do a lot of things, but do we have something in place to help the victims of domestic violence and know how to intercede correctly, who to call, get the police involved, safe houses? What's the plan? Do we have a plan in our ministries? We plan for a lot of other things, outreach. We want to feed the homeless, to feed the children. We want to have men's ministry, women's ministry. But what is the plan for actually helping a real victim of domestic violence in the body of Christ? So I just leave that out there. And just, you have to consider, again, consider, what would you do? To our pastors out there and the elders who are listening, what's the plan? And does everyone in your church know the plan? Because I talked to one pastor a long time ago, and he said, well, you know, my wife will take care of that, and they can go home with us. But I tell you right now, that's not necessarily the answer. Because if that person is a member of your ministry, they know where you live. So you take the abused spouse to your house, and that brings the violence to your home. I don't know why you think a pastor's house is going to be holy ground, but when we talk about real domestic violence, that's putting your family in jeopardy. Because all he has to do is come to your house to get his spouse, and what else can happen there, and bring a whole scene to your home. But do we have real plans, safe houses, places where someone who is a victim of domestic violence, we can take them to tonight? Today's Monday, so you had a Bible study on Wednesday, a Bible study on Tuesday. What's the plan if someone walks through your sanctuary and says they are victims and they need help tonight? Amen? That's my domestic violence awareness. That's just kicking us off. We got more to come for this month of October. So also, I wanted to make an announcement of the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence. There's a 2018 dialogue series coming up. This one is good for the youth. It's going to be held on Thursday, October the 11th at 4:30 p.m. at the Baltimore Washington Conference of the United Methodist Church at Conference Center out in Fulton, Maryland, at 11711 East Marketplace. And it's going to be promoting healthy relationships for youth, friendships, the good and the bad. We're going to talk about increasing wellness, ending the silence, connecting with resources, and being proactive in our young people. Because even in domestic violence relationships between boys and girls, it starts early. It depends what kids are exposed to and what they see as the norm. We see young women see the norm of violence against their mother, against the females in their life, so when it happens to them, they think it's the norm. It's an act of love. And for boys, if they see it in the house that the males in their house abuse the women in that they live with, auntie, grandma, mom, whatever, they think it's the norm. That's how they're supposed to be as men. But if we promote healthy relationships in the youth, I think that's one of the things, prevention, we can do to be able to interact with the youth and prevent it no matter what they see at home. So we invite you to join us and come out. It's friendships, the good, bad, and the ugly. Again, that's on Thursday, October 11th at 4:30 p.m. You can go to our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You see the link there and the flyer for the information to sign up. It's a free event. It's a free event. It's like you register. You can also call 443-695-6110 and get more information about that. Amen? Amen. Our next announcement, as brothers have known, we are back. The Man Up event, we're good. We're good for 2018. We're coming in strong. I hear the brothers calling in. Brothers are connecting. Brothers are committing to show up, engaging brothers, invite them to bring a brother with them. It's a coalition of ministries to men, Man Up, Strength and Submission. It's going to be held on Saturday, October the 20th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's going to be located at 6716 Governor Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie, Maryland. The registration, again, is on. We have a PayPal account set up, or you can call us at 443-591-3504. Email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. Get registered. Become part of the gathering of the men coming together to be encouraged, to be instructed, and for the fellowship and connecting. Our participating ministries for this gathering, Pastor Alexander Butler at Perfect Order Church in Baltimore, Pastor Arthur Thompson, Living Water in D.C., and Apostle Etta Banks, the New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders in Baltimore, Maryland, and Pastor George Sharps of Jesus Lives Ministry Fellowship. The men's groups are coming together to set up a time of, again, a fellowship, instruction, and encouragement. And we're going to have facilitators. We're going to facilitate, we're having three sessions facilitating. We're going to have a Q&A session, and we're going to have fellowship. We're going to have resources. And we're asking for a $20 registration donation that will cover lunch and also your toolbox. And our men of events, those who've been here before, you know we always give, we always provide toolboxes, things to take home, things that you can take home and work on in, on yourself, on your relationship, your growth, your development, your sanctification. It's something because we need tools. If we're going to tune up our car, we're going to tune up the house, paint the house, remodel the house, we need tools. So these are the tools we're going to give for your spiritual growth and for your maturity in the man of God, to be a better husband, father, leader in the home, leader in the church, and leader in the community. Amen? Again, that is on Saturday, October the 20th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And always, you can go to Facebook, at Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page and get the detailed information. Amen. Amen. One more thing we like to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to save that for the end, but we're going to talk about the gospel because, again, I urge, and, you know, we as the body of Christ, we as men of God, we have to be able to evangelize this lost culture, this lost world. And each of us has a call and a purpose that God created us and God saved us. Again, we're not saved by accident. We are not just didn't fall in and stumble into a church, but it was a call of God on our life. Because a lot of people sit in church for years, but they're not saved and not used by God. They're just filling up a pew. That's a whole other show. I'm not going to leave that right there. But for those men are faithful to God and understand who they are and called by God to be used by Him, that He can reach the world, we have to be able to. We have to have a simple explanation of the gospel for someone. Because sometimes as a church, we get caught up in the churchese and our church language. It doesn't mean anything to an unbeliever, to a pagan, to a non-believer. So we have to be able to be straight and plain with the gospel. So when they can come into the knowledge and understand, and then if they have more questions, we can feed off of that. We plant the seed, and then we start to grow. The Bible says some are plant and some are water and some are harvest. But we have to always be in a place where we're ready to plant. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm going to come back later with the 60-second gospel. So just hold on for that. We're going to save that for later on in the program. But prepare. Can you share the gospel in 60 seconds? Can you get the principles and the knowledge and understanding that someone will come to Christ or be able to ask you just one more question? What must I do to be saved? And can you answer that? All right. Amen. I'm going to bring on Elder Mark. Can you hear me, sir? God bless you, sir.
God bless you, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing wonderful, brother. I thank you for calling. Thank you for taking time out your schedule, brother. How are you feeling this evening?
Always a blessing, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Forgive me, my voice just still fighting back with the last of this bronchitis, but I'm blessed and ready to talk. Hopefully the cough won't try to take over.
Amen, amen. Well, keep your finger on the mute button, brother. Don't worry about it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen, amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian. I'm talking. I'm Deacon Fogg. I'm here with Elder Mark from New Vision Life Kingdom Builders. And tonight we're going to talk about knowing who I am. I'm a man blessed with every spiritual blessing. And Elder, I want to come to you. I'm going to kick off with a scripture right here, but then I'm going to come to you and encourage the brothers, because I think we have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know how God sees us now as redeemed men. And the scripture I'm going to start with is Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. The word says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And we have to know that we are blessed by him in all and every spiritual blessing. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Amen. Before we can really, and this is my opinion, you know, before you can really say who you are to the brothers, I want to tell you who you aren't. I don't want anyone listening or any of the brothers out there, those that will hear this later, to anyone I ever have an opportunity to speak to ever think that who they were or the way that they have lived life before salvation, coming to salvation, or having already reached salvation and still dealing with issues. I don't want you to ever hold on to what the enemy says against what God has for you. Every time I speak to someone, to a brother, I always hear this: I've done too much, or I've got to get myself together before I can come to church. I've got to fix some things because God's not ready for me yet, or I'm not good enough to come to God yet. When we talk about the spiritual blessings and knowing who you are, there's a story of a man in the Bible called the prodigal son. He received all his treasures that his father had set for him, his inheritance. He took that and he ran with it and he squandered it. He did so many things and wasted it to the point where he literally was sleeping in a pig pen and eating the slop with pigs. That's how low he had become from the riches that his father had originally ordained and set for him and granted in his inheritance. After being so ashamed, he decided to come back to his father, and his father welcomed him with open arms and welcomed him back. And when he welcomed him back, he placed all kind of jewels around his head, on his hands, and special robes around his over his shoulders, and covered him, bathed him, and poured all these sacred oils all over him, anointed him, and loved him as if he had never left. That's what God does for us. It doesn't matter what mistakes you made, who you were. As Deacon Farr and I always talk to the gentlemen on the line, to those listening, to the ladies listening, there's nothing that you could have done that God has not already forgiven you for. The problem that we have is we still can't forgive ourselves, so it becomes our crutch to not look God in the face and allow God to use you where you are now. Your suffering, your issues, your problems, all those things that happen, God's word says he can turn it around for your good. Turning it around for you, that all things are working out for your good. That's what Romans 8 says. All things are working out for your good. That means your troubles, your trials, your tribulations, there's a blessing that's going to come out of every single thing. And I know that sounds crazy, like whatever, blessing. How can me being in jail right now turn into a blessing? How can my divorce turn into a blessing? How can this, and how can the loss of my child, how can a bad relationship with my kids, how can my finances being torn up turn into a blessing? The blessing is that in every one of those situations where you're feeling lost, that's God showing you he's right there to help you come out of it. All you got to do is reach up and ask. That's what salvation is. And I recognize now, after all the suffering, all the things I went through, the health issues, the problems, I realize I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. I have already been given all of the possessions that God has promised me. They're already there for me. I'm just waiting for my physical and mental body to line up for me to see those things manifest in my life. That's where you are when you realize you're a man blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's where you are when you realize that God is doing everything for you, that he hasn't made a mistake in your life. No matter what the enemy meant for bad, in his awesome and infinite power, he turns it around for good, and it will give you the blessings beyond anything you could ever comprehend. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. And, you know, I agree. That's it. We have to understand who we are in Christ. It doesn't matter That's one of the things you're right. We have to get to a place where we see ourselves as God sees us, and that we are men blessed with every spiritual blessing, the things that God has promised in His Word. And that's why I strongly, you know, we always talk about here at Issues Christian Men's Talk that we encourage the brothers to go into the Word of God for yourself and study and seek out the Word of God. The Word of God, the New Testament, all of Scripture was written for our encouragement, for our edification, to understand who we are in Christ, understand who Christ is, what Christ has done for us. And then the promises, the precious promises. It was in our opening verse, 2 Peter chapter 1. Those precious promises, these are the things we're talking about, these spiritual blessings that God has given us. And they can be categorized, and it is so much. But tonight we're just going to touch on a few, because I just want to encourage your brother out there, every man out there who's in body of Christ, who's listening to the sound of my voice, who's a confessed believer, no matter, again, like Elder Mark said, no matter what we are going through this moment, we are blessed by God. We are recipients of His spiritual blessings. And some of those blessings are His righteousness. The righteousness of Christ is we're covered in His righteousness. That's a spiritual blessing by faith. We have the righteousness of Christ. What Christ has done for us, and now God sees us, He sees His Son. The resource is the Holy Spirit. If God has indwelled every believer, if you are a true, confessed believer, you are filled and indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the power that allows you. That's, you know, I heard it preached before. I can't remember what it was, but it was recently. Let's put it this way, in the last year or so, that the Holy Spirit was like a down payment on our presence and dependence on Him when we get to heaven. When we pass through this life, when we're in His presence, in His throne room, it's the Holy Spirit's a down payment, because we're going to be all obedient and in under His control and His power in a safe place. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do to us here, is that's the resource He provides. And then the Bible speaks of us as being, we're blessed with spiritual blessings as Son. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are sons of God. We are children of God. The Bible speaks of who we are, and we as men have to be able to get to that place, because this is the thing that we need to be able to speak into another brother who's struggling through, who is going through what you've been through, and he needs to be encouraged by someone who's lived it. I mean, we always talk about that. And everyone can preach a deliverance and talk about what God can do, but sometimes our testimony of what God has done can help someone who's in the midst. And then what again? We have to be able to stand square-footed, flat-footed, square-shouldered, and be able to tell someone, you know, this is what I used to be or what I used to do and what I used to believe, but now God. And because I know God and I've seen God in my life and in other people's life, I know He's real and that God can help you too and help you get through. You know what I'm saying? But then again, I don't want to go to where we are giving false perception of what the gospel means. Everything in your life is not going to go well, but you're going to be transformed and renewed in your mind on how you see and deal with things. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Well, let me ask you this. When we talk about the riches of Christ, when we talk about, you know, sometimes we can't even put it in words sometimes, because once we come to the knowledge, this is why, again, I say we have to read Scripture for ourselves, but no one can really tell you that the riches that we couldn't even begin to understand is what Christ has done and what we have given. What do you see as some of those true riches, the things that we don't even think about sometimes? Or just the goodness of His grace. Let's start there. The goodness of His grace that He would save a sinner like you.
I want to put it in plain text for the brothers listening right now, because I just feel in my spirit this will help somebody, one of the brothers listen. If it only helps one, then it did its purpose. But, you know, a lot of us talk about what we would do if we had money. And because we had money, we could buy the things that would make us, that would help us to relieve the stress factors of our life, right? Would you agree with that, Deacon Farr? That's something a lot of us talk about, that men say, or not men, just people in general, money would allow us to relieve the stress factors of life.
Yeah, some of you do believe that.
Do you believe? But the thing about it is, they're looking for riches to relieve the stress, right? For me, what I've realized, the greatest riches that I receive in Christ is truly coming to the knowledge that he really is, beyond the cliche statement, beyond anything, stating truly the word of God, he is the peace that passes all understanding. One of my favorite scriptures, and it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your path. He will, and let's put it in plain English, he'll make the path straight. In life, we go through some turns, some twists. Some things look like a tornado has turned the road to, we're spinning 180 to a 360 to, you know, we're spinning 720 degrees. We're just spinning with no idea where the straight direction is. We're moving on our own thought. We're moving on our, dependent upon our fleshly understanding. The word of God, in his promises of every spiritual blessing, says that he will make your path straight if you just lean upon him and not that of your own understanding. See, our understanding is limited to our earthly understanding. That's something I used to say to my officers when I worked in security, to the officers I worked in. We had a guard mount, and there was a lot of issues we'd have to talk about. And they were like, that doesn't make sense. And I would say to them this one statement. The application of logic to stupid is a futile attempt. What that means is, see, all of our logic is based on our lifetime experiences. What we went through even yesterday shapes our logic for today. And what someone else went through that we didn't go through seems like stupidity. But in our logic, we're depending on what we've seen. And if we've never taken the time to lean upon God and trust in him, then our logic, our understanding is only based on what our flesh has seen. But what God's promises are that he's going to take a connection with your spirit man and build you up that no matter what comes at your flesh, you will always be able to take it with the peace that passes all understanding. It won't even bother you or hurt you. It's something that are. It's not to say that there things aren't disappointing, not to say that things don't hurt, but in that place, you'll be able to deal with it in such a different manner. One of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, which means as things come at you, your mindset, you're in such a place that it just rolls right off your back. It doesn't become a weight. Because you're already saying, God, I know there's another blessing still coming in the midst of it. So when you get sick, you're like, God, wow, I can't afford to get sick right now. But then you realize in your blessing, you realize the blessing in it. Well, maybe I'm home today sick because he's got somebody that's going to knock on the door that's got something for me. Or I'll see something or get a phone call that I couldn't have gotten at work that's going to offer me a better job. But we don't think like that. We look at the flesh. Our flesh always sows us a loss. Our spirit man, when we see that we're learning about those unfathomable riches in Christ, our spirit man always sees a blessing no matter what the situation because we are rooted in the peace that passes all understanding. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You know, what you're saying is true. You know, we sometimes we take our present situation and think that it's the enemy, it's God is not in control. That example you gave, you know, sometimes God has to separate you and give you in a quiet place so that you can hear him and give you opportunity to slow down. I mean, I like that example you used. You know, just because you're homesick doesn't mean just because you had to burn a sick day or something, but then you're available to be able to bless someone else or even to receive a blessing. And we have to, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we have to understand that God is in control of it all. And he has our best interest. That's what we talk about. We're blessed by him. He's in control. As long as we are faithful and obedient, we are true servants. I won't even trace there. I'm going to use a bad word for the next coming. I came with this. I'm going to start using it. We're slaves of Christ and we're slaves of God. Mm-hmm. You start using that instead of servant because I need to start perking some people's ears. Because what is a slave? A slave does not have his own will. He does the will of his master. He has no rights. He has no nothing. He does what he's told. He's the expectation of strict obedience to his master. He knows his master's will. He does his master's will, and he's obedient to his master. So we need to, and if we're in that place where we believe that we are saved, slaves to God, slaves to Christ, and we're obedient to his will, this is why we're secure, and we know who we are as men. We're secure. We know who we are. We know that we're redeemed. We know we're chosen, and we know we're blessed in every spiritual blessing. That God is in control, and he's looking out for us, and he has our best interest. But we can't let our present circumstances, even the things that's going on in the world that's around us, we can't let those things move us off of understanding our position and who God is, who God our Father is, and who Christ is in us. Because, again, this is why I advocate and I encourage brothers to read the Scripture. Because if you read the New Testament Scripture, the saints didn't always have everything going well for them, around them and in them. You know, if you ever go and read through 2 Corinthians, that was a church. That church was jacked up. That church is like a lot of our churches. But, you know, we want to play holiness and wear, you know, suits and ties and nice shoes and long dresses and hats. But if we read the things of why Paul had to write back to the Corinthian church, they were doing, they were forgetting, and they were struggling. They were struggling with coming out of their old lifestyles. But Paul encouraged them. He wrote them specifically. You know, it's a lot there, but I just wanted to say that, you know, we as people of God, as men of God, we have to know, and then we have to be able to seek God for the answers. And again, it's in his word and his obedience to the Holy Scripture. I think a lot of it is us being obedient and knowing. And again, we have to be secure in our faith and know what we believe and why we believe it. Because if I'm secure in the thing, I'm going to stand on the thing no matter what it looks like, no matter what I feel like. Because we have to be focused that this is eternity we're dealing with. You know, we have to understand that we, as men of God, as Christians in general, in a broader sense, as all Christians, it's eternity. No matter how long we live on this earth and what we've been through, our goal and our call, and we have chosen by him to spend eternity with him. And this life, again, we have to see it as opportunities to be able to edify the body and glorify him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. We're here with Elder Mark from New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. And tonight we're talking about being a man blessed with every spiritual blessing. If you called in at 646-668-2636 and you have something you want to share or have a question, you can press 1 on your keypad. I see the brothers out there listening. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate all of y'all for listening and coming in. I recognize some of the numbers, and we had a couple of new numbers. And for those of you who are listening online, I'm not going to forget y'all at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Paul. I thank you for joining us. You can always go back, share the broadcast, share this conversation with the link. Also, if you're on the website page, if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see a follow button. You click on that button, you'll get updates when we have new live broadcasts and uploads. Our programs during the week. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we continue to speak and encourage brothers. We are not men who we don't stand on the pedestal. We are not holy, whatever. I'm not going to go there. But we are men who live for God, believe God, but yet we understand what God can do and bring us through the struggles and the situations we have. Not saying we all have it all together, because every day is a new challenge and a new test, but we seek to encourage brothers in their growth. We seek to encourage brothers not to give up, no matter what's going on. Keep on pressing. And the importance of having men in your circle who will encourage you, who you can go to. And the biggest part about having the men in your circle is, are these the men who you can go to and trust and communicate with and build a relationship with? Also, are you going to be obedient to when you ask their advice, are you willing to now move in that advice? Because that obedience, that's how God speaks to each other. This is why we have the body of Christ, why we have fellowship, to encourage one another. Iron sharpens iron is not a slogan. It's a scripture, and it's for a purpose. That as we come together, rub up against each other, sharpen each other through the word of God and through the Holy Spirit, we become a better community of men, a better church, a better fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to move on. I want to continue this discussion tonight, and we're going to talk about knowing that you are an accepted man, that you've been, again, this goes back to what you started with in the first half of the program, Elder, but I'm going to come back to it because you touched on it, but I've got time. We're going to go back to it now. We have to know who we are in Christ. We have to know. We have to know that we're accepted by him, we're welcomed by him, no matter what we've done and where we've come from. You, go ahead, bro. You can continue to speak on that because I think a lot of us, especially if we're first generation Christians, my grandmother wasn't saved, my daddy wasn't saved, and our mama wasn't saved. And some of us, we're first generation, but some of us, Abraham's in our family bloodline. There ain't nothing behind us, but all we can look to is what's in front of us, what's ahead of us, for our children's children's children. What do you say, sir?
Amen. You know, a lot of us as men, and I'm speaking for myself, a lot of us have a problem with actually realizing that we are accepted. We have set in our minds, and this is a true trick of the enemy that we even do in our secular lives, that who we are has to match up to what the world says we are to be cool, or we are to be like we're supposed to fit a certain mold. But see, God made us, and he predestined us. He knew everything about us. The word says that he knows your beginning from your end. And what that means is God has a plan. And we may fall short in so many places, and that road that could be straight had we have leaned upon him and followed his understanding and not that of our own, all that road could be a lot straighter. But even when it winds and carries you every which way, whether it places you on the rough side of the tracks, the good side of the tracks, or puts you dead smack in the middle of the tracks where the train's about to run over you, whatever place you are, God's got you in that place to do something with you. So what the word says, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've been through. I suffered with that. I was raised in church. When I got the chance, because I felt like I was fourth, when I hit that 15, 16-year age, when I started driving, I came up with every reason of why I didn't want to go to church, why I couldn't go to church. I had to work that Sunday. I didn't have to work. But my parents didn't know my schedule, so it was accepted. Oh, I was tired because I worked late Saturday night and I got to be to work early Saturday afternoon, got to work Sunday afternoon. Or I've got something for school going on that I got to meet up with some people to study for. Most of the time it was bogus. But I felt like I couldn't be cool and go to church. I couldn't hang with the friends I was hanging with and go to church. Granted, that wasn't the fit that I needed. I needed to be at church. I needed to be around people that would encourage me to show me that in my difference from those that I was struggling to fit in with, I already had a place that I fit in. I already had a purpose that I was being lined up for, but I steadily ran from it and ran from it. I just wish that, and I wish that when someone else told me this when I was younger, that I would have taken heed to it. So I encourage you, brothers, realize you are already accepted by God. It doesn't matter if this is the first time you've ever heard the name Jesus said out loud. It doesn't matter if you've been in church your entire life. Wherever you are, God has already accepted you and welcomed you as that prodigal son, that one that left away from where he had you or what design he had for you, what he thought you would have done with the inheritance that he showed he had for you, prepared to bring you back into all of the treasures that he's got for you. When I realized that I was accepted in my mess, to grow in my spirit, that's when it's felt like the blessings have never stopped. And every day, no matter how hard the day may have been, there's always a blessing in the midst of it. And I'm just, I truly pray that those listeners, you really understand that God has blessings for you. It doesn't matter. And I talk to some young guys, older guys. I don't care if you got fronts with fangs. I don't care if you've been dealing with heroin all your life. It doesn't matter who you are. Homeless, haven't had a shower in 30 days, whatever. God is just waiting right there for you. We've all got some issues about it. And Deacon Fall, I'm sorry, if I could, I know you said you were going to talk about 60 seconds of salvation. I just want to share something, and I'm going to pass it back to you. It was a gospel comedian.
Go ahead, brother. You okay?
I apologize. It was a gospel comedian.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
I don't remember his name, but he said something after he did his skit, and this was how he ministered salvation. And he talked to all the people, and he said, if you imagine yourself as a house, and some people may have a mansion, maybe a mansion, some people may be as small as a teepee or a small wooden shack, but in each and every house, there's areas where we hide things, where we put things away, where we stack things up. What we attempt to do in our lives, for that mansion or for that house on the hill, whoever you are, wherever you stand, a lot of times we got that plate glass window in the front, so we try to keep that front room real clean, so when everybody looks in, it looks like, oh yeah, they're doing good, they don't have any problems. But if you were able to get through the front door and get to that back room, you see all the mess that's been piled up and piled up and piled up, that even the person that lives in the house, that your house that you desire to get clean, you don't even know where to start to try to clean it up. You don't know what to do with it, because all of the time where you've been trying to make it look good, you even might have the outside landscape, but inside it's in shambles. You might have the fresh car, the nice clothes, the money. You might have the three-piece suit and be standing in the pulpit. But inside that house, it's tore apart. Walls are falling. Boxes and trash has been built up. Pipes are bursting. It's molding and mildew. It's all kind. It's just everything that you can think of beyond that good-looking front room that everybody sees is a mess. Now, when you look outside, you see a man outside. He's standing there with a mop and a bucket and all the things to remove all the dirt, grime, muck, repair all the broken down walls, all the busted pipes, repair all the issues to make not only that front room really clean, but clean the rest of the house. So now it's prepared to be filled with all the good stuff, the quality things that it was designed for. And that man standing outside is Jesus Christ. But see, he's a gentleman, so he's not going to bust the door in and just walk in. All he's saying is, if you open the door and let me in, I'll clean all of it up. That's the promise of God. That's what you realize, that you, when you realize you've been accepted by God, it doesn't matter how your house looks today, God's prepared God is prepared with Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. That was the preparation. That's the blood. That's the chemical that will wash away all that stuff that's inside and clean it up so that you're prepared to receive all the blessings that God has already set for your house, for your home. Back to you, sir.
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And that's where it starts. It starts on the inside. It starts on the inside. That's why we look at people, we look at outward appearance. But the work that God does and the work that the Holy Spirit does starts on the inside. And then it'll work its way out, because we can dress up anything to make it look good. We can dress up a thief to look good. You know, there's thieves in three-piece suits and shirts and ties. So, and God talked about, and Jesus talked about this as being whitewashed, whitewashed tombstones, you know, because, again, but this is what God does, and this is what the things that we talk about here at Men, at Issue Scripture Men's Talk, at our Man Up events, at Men's Ministry. These are the things that we're talking about to help the brothers understand and get a real relationship with Christ and be able to lock in and be secure in who they are, secure in the work that God is doing. Again, you may not get it all right every day. You may trip. You may make a mistake. But God has a solution for that also. It's the repentance. If we are sincere in our repentance, if we make a mistake, we find out we did wrong or went wrong or slipped up, we repent, we ask forgiveness, and we continue to press on and move and grow. Again, you know, it's just like anything else in the secular world. I've never heard anybody who got fired from a job or laid off from a job never go back to work. I never know anybody who made a mistake and failed a class in school and then dropped out of school. I mean, I've heard of it, but then there's no outcome because then their lives is totally wrecked for that one decision because they gave up. But in, with the body of Christ, again, this is not what God is asking for. He's not asking for perfection. God is seeking obedience, and he's looking for us to grow in those things. And again, in the scripture, it tells we have examples of all kinds of men that God used, but they were faithful and they were obedient, and they went back and repented, from David to Moses to Paul to Peter. The only example of one who did not was Judas, and we all know what happened to him. Just imagine, you know, I know Judas was predestined to do what he was done, but his choice to hang himself and kill himself and not repent and ask forgiveness, never know how God would have used him. But it was always there because he was an unbeliever, because he submitted himself unto the devil and listened to those voices instead of listening to Jesus that he was with for 3 years. He ended up as being that chastised and hanging himself. But as men of God today, no matter what, repent, come back to God, seek God, go to your brothers, go to your pastors, go to those elders, those mature brothers, ask for support, ask for encouragement, ask to be mentored and discipled. Again, the church, we're called to make disciples, not fill chairs and pews. We're called to make disciples, which are not even converts. I mean, we have to go back to what the Word of God said. They believed, they became disciples of Christ, and that's what we're called to do, to disciple the whole world. Amen? Amen. But even listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Barr. Elder, I'm going to come back to you for your closing remarks. Again, what we've been talking about tonight was I am knowing that I'm a man blessed with every spiritual blessing, and I am a man accepted by God, and we are secure in that we are no longer rejected by God. We're not an outsider, we're an insider, okay, and God is using us. But right now, I want to go into the gospel again. This is evangelism. It's what we're called to do. We, each individual man and person, the body of Christ, I know our brothers are listening, but the whole body. When we're making disciples, this is one of the things that we should be able to do. We should be able to share the gospel with someone, the plain, simple gospel that they can understand and come to the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and who God is. And when we do, we're going to start that we understand that God is love. God hates sin. Even if you're a good person, you have not lived a perfect life, nor has anyone else. The sin has separated us from God. The payment for sin is death and hell, but there is good news. A perfect substitute can make your payment, and God loved you so much that he gave Jesus Christ as your substitute. And through his death, you can live a life eternal. And by his resurrection, death is defeated. This gift is free. You could never deserve it. And just by accepting this gift, your sins will be forgotten and forgiven, and you will be reconciled to God and live with him forever in heaven. Amen? And that's the gospel, simple message. Can we do that? Can we share that with someone and then let that seed be planted and then be prepared to be able to minister, answer their questions? And the greatest question, what must I do to be saved? Do we know what that means and how we can answer that for the unsaved and for the unbeliever? Amen.
Amen.
Elder Mark, how are you? You good? I want you can give your closing statement and close out in prayer, brother. I appreciate you for spending time and being part of the program. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all, gentlemen, ladies, those, all those listening on the line. We appreciate you. And as always, I want everyone to understand that none of us have got it all together, that we're all a work in progress. And learning things like this, that I am a man blessed and a woman blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am accepted. I'm no longer rejected. I'm no longer an outsider. You know, we've all been that puzzle piece trying to fit in, and we never found the niche. We never found the place that we fit in. And some of us have tried to trim the puzzle piece to fit into the wrong puzzle, to fit into something that we were never supposed to be a part of. But God, in all of his infinite and awesome wisdom, designs you as an intricate part for his puzzle to fulfill the very prophetic things spoken about who we are, who we'll grow into be, and how we will all serve for the benefit of the kingdom of God. And I pray that as you get a chance to fellowship with us, talk more, and I pray that you'll have an opportunity on our next show, on the next show and the following show, to join in to ask questions. We love to look forward to hearing from you, that you'll do so, that you'll have an opportunity to ask questions and grow as we are growing, so that we can all grow together. For as Deacon Farr did say, and the scripture says, iron does sharpen iron. So we just appreciate you all and thank you for joining us. And I'm just going to close in prayer. And as I pray, I just pray that something to spoken today change your heart and mind, that you'll realize you are the one God has called you to be, and growing to being even stronger each and every single day. Father God, we honor you and bless you. We praise you, Lord God, for what you have already done, Lord God, what you are doing, what you'll continue to do in our lives, Lord God. For the blessings that come from you and the abundance in you, that is you and you alone, we say thank you. Father, we know that some of us have not yet understood what those blessings are, Lord God, because we're still stuck in a place, Lord God, that the enemy has manipulated us, that has perverted your word for us to, that we don't understand the call upon our lives. We don't understand the inheritance, Lord God, that you have already written for us, Lord God. So we just ask for the strength to see you in us, so that we will see ourselves as you see us, Lord God, as the clean rag, the clean cloth, Lord God, the clean people that you created, not the dirty rags that the enemy has tricked us into believing that we are stuck being, that we will always grow, that we will see you in everything, Lord God, that you will continue to work on our hearts and minds, draw us closer, so that as we learn more of you, we will learn more of ourselves. We pray to you, giving you praise, glory, and honor this day and every day, and we thank you for all that you are, all that you've allowed us to be, and all that you are changing us to become. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.